I'm just going to start with a prayer. God, thank you that we can gather here today. And thank you that I can be here to share words of what you have to say today. And I pray that you will open the hearts and minds of all of us here, and that words that are spoken are the words that have come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, everybody. I'm going to start just by introducing myself. My name is Tracy Morris. I've come from England, if you hadn't worked that one out from my accent. Arrived here in June. My husband's working at the hospital, so we're here just for 12 months. So I have my husband, Paul, and my daughter, Grace, who's 13. And I come from a town called Sheffield in Yorkshire, in England, up north. I've just finished ordination training with the Church of England, so I get ordained when I go home in June. And I've been a Christian since, properly been a Christian since the year 2000, so for the past 18 years. And across that time, I've had experience of quite a lot of churches around different denominations, mainly Church of England, but I've experienced quite a lot. Now, I'm just going to get this out there now. The most frequently asked question of me since I've arrived here is, so where are you with Brexit? So I'm just going to clear that all out because there's quite a few of you in the room. I am a Remainer. If you don't know what Brexit is, oh, you are so lucky. Just stay that way. But the thing is, with Brexit, I don't know if you've listened to the news, but since we had the vote to leave the European Union, there are voices everywhere in England and across the world saying what they think should happen. We should leave because of this. We should stay because of this. Voices all over the place. You should have voted for that. You should have voted for this. And actually, it's really distracting to hear so many voices telling you what they think that you should believe, what you should have done. And those voices, they're not constrained just to politics. There's voices in life everywhere. Our family and our friends like to tell us lots of things, how we should be and what we should do and whether or not we should be doing what we're doing. The media, television, films, always telling us what we should look like, how we should be, what we should think. The news, social media, voices everywhere on social media. And unfortunately, the church is not immune. There are lots of denominations. And within those denominations, there are lots of traditions, all believing slightly different things, doing things in slightly different ways. Lots of voices, all telling each other how they think things should be done. When I read the Mark passage as I was preparing this talk, the same line that always jumped out at me. It was, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming I am he and will deceive many." And every time I read that and every time I read other passages that are quite similar, I always think, well, how do I know? How do I know when someone's deceiving me? How do I know that that person isn't who they say they are? It's really easy to get distracted by all the different voices. My experience as a Christian has been varied. Probably for the first 10 years, I spent a lot of time being told what to believe. And so I was new to this thing, really, so I took it on. You must love everybody. Everybody. We're all here together. We're neighbours. We love everybody. But, well, really, you know, this is what you should think about homosexuality. This is what you should think about gender. Divorce, well, you know, shouldn't really happen in any circumstances. These are the voices that I'm hearing. And, you know, you hear these things and you think, well, if you pray, God answers your prayer. So if God's not answering your prayer, well, then you've just not got enough faith. Or, well, if God's not answering your prayer, you're just not praying hard enough. You shouldn't ever swear. Don't ever swear. It's wrong. And Halloween, oh my word, just don't even go there. You know, it's celebrating darkness and we must have light, so no Halloween. Okay. And what I want you to do now is I want you to pray, and I want you to ask God to speak to you right now. Off you go. Okay. So if you're not hearing any words from God, well, you're not trying hard enough. And then when I went to college, which was only 5 years ago, it was like I had an awakening all of a sudden, because I'm surrounded by different people in different places. And I woke up. Okay, well, that's great, but what do I think? What do I believe? Who am I? And actually, who is God to me? What is it that I feel in my heart? And I read lots of different things for different assignments. I read some beautiful, wonderful journals and books. I read from some really damaging and dreadful stuff. But it all helped me to work out, okay, so where do I actually fit now? What's my voice in all of this? And then it really, this whole idea about actually where do I stand with all these different political statements going on was kind of culminated in a gentleman that I met in a church called St. Mark's in Sheffield. And it's a very radical, very open church. And that's unusual for England, very unusual. And I sat next to this man and I was talking to him. And he said, you know what, the reason that I'm here is not really because this church does it how I want to do it. I'm not really sure about my faith and about God and all of that. But the reason that I'm here is because so far this is the only place out of four churches that I've been that haven't thrown me out when I've told them I'm bisexual. And you think, good grief. You know, these voices are causing a lot of harm. And so I woke up and thought, well, I need to realise what I think about all of this. And of course, the voices don't stop. I'm going to be ordained next year. And when I was at college, I met a gentleman from a church who was from a very conservative church in Sheffield and spoke to my friend on why she thought she should be there, being a woman. We've just appointed a new bishop, and the first candidate who almost got consecrated in Sheffield met with all the women clergy in Sheffield to tell them that he won't be ordaining them because he doesn't believe in women in ordination. And so, but because he won't ordain women, he also won't ordain men either, to make it fair. But he wouldn't take communion offers either. Now, this isn't a one-sided thing. This isn't just the conservative edge of things. There is the other side too. And I've listened to people who would class themselves as very, very open and very inclusive, but have been really quite offensive in the way that they do it. So it's just a different view. And then in other situations, I've heard people tell me, I've got the way to do mission. This is how you should do church. Do this or you're just going to fail. I've heard church leaders say that bishops are pointless. The Church of England is dying, and so maybe actually we should just let it die. And I've read Facebook blogs from well-respected theologians of people commenting on their work, saying statements like, how can you call yourself a Christian and say this or believe that? But all of these things are distractions from who we are and what we believe. And then you can see other people getting distracted. Numbers. Oh my goodness, numbers. How many people have you got coming to church? What's the percentage of the people in your group are non-Christians, who are Christians, who are this, who are that? Numbers, numbers, numbers. Or you've got people boasting, we're the best, we're amazing, we're wonderful. Pride-filled. And I've even heard lies and manipulation to make people look better than they are. Now, this all sounds really depressing. But this isn't about me telling you how awful things are. And disagreement doesn't necessarily mean deception. People have different views, different values, and we still need to work together with people who perhaps we don't disagree with. And this isn't a lesson on how to spot deceivers. But actually, this leads us on to the Hebrews passage. And this isn't a message, just a nice little sermon that I could take to any church. My talk today is for you, particularly for Abbey Church, for Emmaus Community. And what God wants to say to you is, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by all the voices that you may hear and the situations that you're living in at the moment. And I haven't had lots of experience of Abbey Church at the moment, but what I have seen is openness, creativity, courage to step out and do things that lots of churches are not doing, a real strong spirituality, a real openness to God, really honest seeking God's voice. This is what you have here is real. And this is radical discipleship. I mean, I stand here coming from England, and this is radical discipleship, what you're doing here. This is a beautiful thing. And God wants to say, don't get distracted. Don't get distracted by other people who will tell you they've got all the answers for you. Don't get distracted by people who may criticize you. Don't get distracted by the pride that comes with big success. Don't get distracted by celebrity status. Don't get distracted by the suffering and the struggle that happens in life. Now, it's easy to say, but how? How do you not get distracted? Well, that's where the Hebrews comes in. Come to God with sincere hearts. This is the daily presence with God. This is not just the rituals or the going through the motions. This is a daily coming to God with sincere hearts. As we've heard, the Old Testament sacrifices on their own were not enough. It's a sincere commitment. And you might already be doing this, and that's fantastic. Don't stop. Don't get distracted. Come back every day. And then the second thing is, hold unswervingly to the hope and the promise that God has given. Unswerving means holding tight and staying there, not being pushed or pulled or distracted into another direction, but staying solid and holding on. And then encourage each other. Love each other, praise each other, support each other, be patient with each other. Hold each other up when it's needed. There's a really beautiful picture in Exodus 17 when Moses is told that the only way the Israelites are going to win the battle with the Amalekites is if he holds his arms in the air. And so after a while, he's getting pretty tired. And so Aaron and Hur come along and give him a stone to sit down on. And one holds one arm and one holds the other arm of Moses. And so when Moses is at his weakest point, where he's absolutely shattered and can't hold his arms up anymore, these people come in and hold his arms up so he can keep going. And this is holding each other up. This is supporting each other. When you're struggling, there are people with you who can keep you going. So in essence, keep coming back to the same spot. Keep coming back to God. His presence is always with you. That doesn't change. But keep giving him your presence. Keep turning back and keep staying focused. You have something really special here. Really special. And it's something that I think the world needs to see. Because what I see coming from England is that you guys here in this church, you're doing what some of us would love to do, but we're just too scared. Because we don't have right now as much opportunity to be as open as you are. So keep doing it, but don't get distracted.